Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Thursday, the 23rd of April. Happy birthday to Mummy Abraham.
Yay.
This is episode 405.
You just came back? You just came back from a wonderful dinner? Wonderful birthday dinner?
Yeah, literally just got through the door. No time to rest. I'm exploding with delicious Tamil food. Straight on to the old podcast. So if I do some curry-infused belches during the recording, I apologize. Sorry.
I can smell them from here. how's mom doing? How's she making out?
She's great. Yeah, she's doing all right. We got her. So Mally's got this Thai friend who makes Thai birthday cakes, and they are absolutely delicious. So the best one she does is a coconut one. So the sponge, it's a green sponge because it's infused with pandan leaf, which is like a lovely sort of light vanilla sort of custardy flavor. And it's so light and fluffy, and there's like big slices of like tender fresh coconut
I
meat
love it.
Is that what we call it, coconut meat,
with
sort of coconut cream, little whipped topping, and shredded coconut on top. It is the best. So
I love coconut, Joel. I'll eat a shoe if you fucking drizzle coconut over it. That sounds fantastic. I would pay her cash money. If there was any way possible, she could send it over Federal Express. Oh, that sounds delicious. Fantastic. But happy birthday to her. She was hilarious. I got to be honest with you. She was a hoot, it said. She really was. She really was great. She was funny. I mean, she's again, a typical mom of that age. You know, fucking, what's her name from The Sopranos, the mom.
yes, she is. She's like, a Jewish version of Livia Soprano.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to.
Stick a knife straight in my heart.
I don't take that back. So good. She might be my favorite. Junior is probably my favorite, but she might be my second. Just the facial expressions and again, as the series played out, as you well know, she just became this fucking evil, undermining, boy.
One of TV's greatest villains.
Unbelievable. A subtle as fuck. I don't know what you're talking about. So good. Oh, I mean, truly, truly one of the greatest heels of all time. So absolutely. All right, cool. That is good. I'm glad you all had a good time. Lovely. I worked this afternoon. Thank you very much. Just to set a level playing field here. Jesus Christ.
Oh, poor you.
I know. Actually, it wasn't too bad today. All right, listen. I promised you, and I promise, I know there are lots of people on the edge of their seats that need to hear from Football Joel, Arsenal Joel. And again, I was just flipping channels in the morning, and I was like, oh my God, because I saw it in my TV guide. I was like, oh, is that the game? And I texted you, and you said, yes, I'm pooping my pants right now, going through all the emotions. And I had it on, and I'll listen. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to let you get it all out and get us up to date of where we stand. Joel, Football Joel, take it away.
I felt awful. I just felt sick with nerves for like 48 hours in the build up to the game. The day of the game, I was out actually. I went to the there's a Thai temple in Plymouth, so we went out there for Thai New Year, and I was just trying to harvest all the good vibes that I could. I even made a £10 donation to the temple, and I was like, "This, wow, this should get us a result." if I'm putting £10 of my own money towards,
you know,
the old Buddhists, the monks, then surely that's worth at least a point at City away.
You would think.
We played quite well, right? It was a good game.
Okay.
It was just one of those matches where it came down to the fine margins. We had chances, we didn't take them. City had chances, they took theirs. And we just find ourselves in the same position that we were about 3 years ago, where well, we've got all our good players on the pitch, then the build-up is good, but we're just really lacking an elite striker. Just put those away. We bought a striker who is very good at finishing, but he can't do anything else. He can't sprint. He can't control a ball. He can't hold up the ball. He can't make runs. If he's standing in the right place and you put the ball to his feet and he's got loads of time and space, then yeah, he'll fucking bury it. But he can't do anything else apart from that.
aside from the shooting, he sounds just like me.
Someone on Twitter said he's a trebuchet. Yeah, he's a trebuchet. You put him in the right spot, line him up, load him with the right ammo, and yeah, he will hurl those boulders at the target, but completely immobile. We just, as Arsenal fans, we live in constant fear of bottling it, because I don't think in previous years it was fair to say that we did bottle it. I think there's genuine mitigating circumstances to explain the collapses. But this year, I think it would be a bottle. So we were, what, six points clear? 9 points clear at one point?
Yeah,
we
could have made
it 12 points clear. And now City have gone above us because we've just bollocksed it all up. So in a lot of ways, the worst has come to pass already, because you know, we lost at home to Bournemouth, which is unforgivable.
Yeah.
Lost to City, which anyone can lose to City on their day. But that's it now. So level on points. Level on goal difference.
Wow.
They have scored more goals than us, but the goal difference is the same. Both of us got 5 games left. So that's it. It's like a restart. It's like a shootout.
Yeah.
And let's see what this team's made of. We're not the favourites anymore. I think most Arsenal fans have pretty much given up hope. But I want to see what they've got now, right? I don't expect us to win the league, but we've got 5 games left that should all be winnable. If we're a serious team, we should be winning those games. And I think if we win them all, we'll probably win the league.
Okay.
City have got games that on paper look harder than ours.
Tougher schedule. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to win all of those. I mean, they probably will go into Terminator mode, because there's just something about the way Pep Guardiola manages his squad over the course of a season that when it comes to this, the business end, like April, May, everyone's back, everyone's fit, healthy, informed, firing
on all cylinders. Yeah.
So opposite for us, we run all our players into the ground. So by the time April comes around, we're just absolutely dead and everything's falling apart. So,
do you feel the momentum shifting?
Yeah, the momentum is absolutely with City, right? They are riding high in all their crunch games. They've delivered the tough away games that we haven't won. You know, they not an away game, but they've beaten us. They beat Liverpool away. They beat Chelsea away. It's like, yeah, when push comes to shove, they are delivering. And look, they've dropped a lot of silly points this year. So that obviously they're in the same position as us. So we've both been giving up points where we shouldn't have done. But we've got a match against Newcastle at home on Saturday, I think it is. They're in terrible form.
Okay.
We should slap them up. And if we don't, you know, if we can't get a result there, then this the team's not good enough to be champions. And I think that will probably be the end of this project. I think there'll be a lot of players who will move on. There might be some players disillusioned. I think there would have to be conversations about the manager and whether he's the right man for the job. I don't know. You know, ask me again at the end of the season. Yeah, this was this very strange position where we are. If you'd said to me at the start of the season, 5 games to go, level on points level with Man City,
right.
Yeah, level on goal difference, here are your last 5 games. Here are their last 5 games. I'd have probably bitten your hand off. But right. just because of the context and the amount of time we've spent in first place this year and the amount of chances we've had to really kill this off and build up an unassailable lead, and we just failed to do it. That's why this doesn't taste so good. But yeah, joint top of the Premier League, 5 very winnable games left in the semi-finals of the Champions League. So, you know, we should be on the edge of our seats here. Like, we are on the precipice of what could be an absolute all-timer season. You know, we could conceivably win the Premier League, win the Champions League, Tottenham get relegated, and it is a season that goes down in absolute folklore that generations and generations of fans will sing about long after my bones have turned to dust. Or it could just as easily and probably more likely end up with us being trophyless and being ridiculed and perennial second place bridesmaids, just the laughing stock of England, possibly Europe. And I don't know which way it's going to go, Damon, but like I said, in a lot of ways, the pressure is off at this point because that big lead is gone. So it's like, okay, this crunch time now. Let's see what you're made of.
Trying to take the emotion out of it, what do you think happens?
Oh, God.
How do you see this being played out?
We like, probably lose 1-0 to Newcastle on Saturday.
Again, take emotion out of it.
So City had a game last night against Burnley. So they had an extra game. Burnley are crap, right? They're 19th in the Premier League. And I thought that would be the beginning of the end. I thought they were going to absolutely smash Burnley like 5-6-0, build up a massive, well, a hefty lead in the goal difference. But the fact that they only won 1-0 has just kept okay. that little bit of hopium, just that tiny little injection of hopium where we're like, ooh, okay. So they had an extra game on us. And that's where I thought the difference would be, them having that extra game to score more goals. So it does come down to goal difference.
Yeah.
But now they've not done that. And I think, you know, if the roles were reversed, if it was us and the expectation was like, oh, you know, go and destroy Burnley, build up some goal difference, and we only won 1-0, then people would be criticising that. So honestly, though, I've got absolutely no idea. I don't... My heart says, yeah, we win our final 5 games, 2-0s, 3-0s, 4-1s, 5-2s, and... win it on goal difference, which would be incredible.
Oh, considering everything that's happened so far. Yeah.
But my head says, I've been here before. I've seen this movie before. We're probably going to lose 1-0 to Newcastle at the weekend, and that'll be that.
Oh, my God. Again, right now you explained eloquently, as you always do, like where they stand, and that there is tons of hope. It's the fact that they squandered this pretty sizable lead to get to where they are.
We're not playing very well either, right? We're not exactly in good form. The last 2 goals we scored, one was a deflection off a goalkeeper trying to make a clearance, and before that was a penalty. Like, we are really struggling to put the ball in the net. But on the plus side, we are getting players back from injury. Our 4, I'd say, key attacking players have not played together all season. So I don't want to do like the, injuries, wham, excuse. But, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. But now if we do manage to start getting some of these players back and we can put out attacking lineups with players who've got history and chemistry together, who knows? Well, I saw encouraging signs against City. I thought we actually played pretty well. It was a performance I was relatively proud of. I didn't want us to go and stink the place out and play, you know, football terrorism, haram ball and just try and escape with a 0-0. But we didn't. We were bold, we pressed, we attacked, we crafted good chances, but we didn't put away our chances. You know, we had some really close ones, hit the post. It was just really fine margin stuff. But I saw enough there to think, if we play like that against the other 5 teams, I think we'll beat them. But will we play like that? I don't know, because we've also got those 2 Champions League games. We've got a 2-leg semi-final with Atletico Madrid to squeeze in there. And, you know, what effect is that going to have on the situation? There's so many variables.
Now, I'm talking to logical football Joel. What is your mental state with all this?
I was gutted. I was absolutely devastated. I was heartbroken, not after the City game so much, but the Bournemouth game the week before that, because I knew what that meant. And I was like, oh, God, that's it. That's the bottle, right? Losing to City away, that's not a bottle, because anyone can lose to City away, but pissing away points at home to Bournemouth and throwing away leads in the last minute against teams like Wolves and Sunderland and losing, failing to score goals against Nottingham Forest. Like that's the bottle. You know, that's the bit that annoys me, because I thought we did quite well against City. So after the City game, I was really upset, but not angry. I was just sad, right? Because we thought we played really well, and I was just like, oh, that's it. That's the end of it now. The momentum is with City. Forget it. Like this is it. We've bottled it. It's cooked. We're done. Wow. But now I've had time to think about it.
Reflect.
I'm a bit more, I'm not going to say optimistic, but I'm just thinking, well, let's just give it a try. You know, let's see where we are now. We've lost the lead. Pressure's off. Let's see what we can do.
And you did set it up perfectly in the sense of, you know, if you asked Football Joel beginning of the season, like to be in the position you are right now with everything on the line, yeah, you'd fucking sign up for that in a heartbeat. So, all right. I know. I felt terrible for you. But there was
Did you enjoy the game? What did you think of it?
I mean, the fucking energy. Look, I like in any sport, I like important games, and like when you feel the importance of it, that's what I felt. You know what I mean? Like I felt that. There were some points where I was just like, oh my God, come on, somebody do something. I'm a fucking fan because you're a fan. You know what I mean? And to call me a fan is ludicrous. You have my emotional support, and you know I knew the importance of this game, and it was interesting, and there was a ton on the line, so yeah, I'll fucking sit there and watch that, absolutely, no doubt.
Maybe that's our Kikuchi moment, right? This is us. This is Naito, you know, shuffling away from the ring at the end of Wrestle Kingdom 12, trying to put a brave face on it, and you know, sneer at Okada when his heart's broken because he knows he's fucked it up, and I don't want to have to wait 2 years for the redemption. Let's just kind of speed run that, condense it into the course of like a month, and I'll have the redemption there, please. Thank you.
All right, I'm rooting for you. Well, at least you did get some good news as well, Soccer Joel, Football Joel, should I say? Tottenham fucking got relegated, dude. Not that really I'm saying that like you didn't know it, but I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe. Like, I knew there was the risk, and I knew there was.
No, they're not relegated yet. They're in the relegation zone, but they've still got.
Oh, they still have hope? I thought they were officially got the numbers.
Like, Wolves are down, Burnley are down, but the last relegation spot is open. And currently Spurs are there. They are in 18th spot. So we'll see how they do against Wolves this weekend. Like, if they can't beat Wolves, again, this is very rich coming from an Arsenal fan, and we failed to beat Wolves as well. But it's that interesting time of year where there's a lot of teams you find yourself playing against. Sometimes you're playing against teams in a relegation dogfight who are fighting tooth and nail to stay up, even though they've been bad for most of the season, but now it's real crunch time for them. You end up playing against teams who have got still in cup competitions, European competitions, so you think, you know, how much do they really care about the league? Sometimes you're playing against teams who've got absolutely nothing to play for. They're just comfortably in mid-table. They're not going down. They're not going to qualify for any European spot. So they just have absolutely no reason to be, you know, going out. But sometimes that pressure being off means they play better because, there's that not weight of expectation. So it's you really don't know what you're going to get at this point in the season. It's so unpredictable.
And it's Bournemouth, is it? Is that how it's pronounced? Bournemouth?
What about Bournemouth?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they have the opportunity to play spoiler to a lot of fucking teams. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to break a lot of hearts this season. And they have already.
Yeah, they're a very good team. Very well organized. Really good manager, Iraola, who's leaving at the end of the season. So again, what effect is that going to have? Is that going to galvanize the players and the manager that they're going to want to see out his tenure as Bournemouth manager with a flourish? And they are not that far away from European spots. You know, if they put a little run together, if they beat Man City, you know, they could be possibly looking at Champions League football. I don't know.
Let's go.
It's an interesting one.
Not bad. All right. Listen, I wanted you to get that out of you. I'm sure you had no other release. I'm sure Molly's like, shut the fuck up. I don't care. But
when I'm telling her about these games, like, you know, I went to Wembley and then come back from Wembley. She's like, did you win? And I was like, no, we lost. And she's like, oh, so is that it? The football's finished.
No.
Like, well, no, that was one competition. We're still in this competition, this game. So every time I'm telling her about what's happened on, she's like, okay, so is it finished now? Or is it over? Have you lost everything? I'm like, no, we're still in this and we're still in with the chance. And her eyes just glaze over. So I think I just need to let her know what happens at the end.
It really is comforting, you know, knowing that she's right there with her every stride. God damn, rolling her eyes.
She did, to her credit, cheer me up after the Bournemouth game. So we'll give it
oral.
A little nudge, wink, wink. With
all right. I hear you.
I wasn't thinking about the football when I went to sleep. Let's put it that way.
I got you. All right, listen. That was Football Talk with Joel and Damon, brought to you by WWE Show.
Damon, I love getting food delivered to my house while I'm watching WWE premium live event. I do. I know we've given WWE a bit of a bad rep over the past few years and, you know, Vince McMahon's sex crimes and all the horrendous things they've done. But, you know, who doesn't like to sit down and tune into Money in the Bank with some delicious, hot, fresh fast food delivered to your house? I like that. We all like that, don't we? Don't we? Don't we like that?
You better.
They were offering us Shinsuke Nakamura. They said we could have Nakamura for Wrestle Kingdom. So they're all good. They're a good company. We like them.
We love them. We love the boys in Connecticut.
WrestleMania. Love the old WrestleManias.
Yeah.
All the big stars having their wrestling matches at the Mania. Doing all the slams and the stories
being told.
The suplays and the...
Yeah.
The three count. One, two, three. Yay! The champion of WrestleMania. Woo! That was exciting.
I like that
a lot.
All right. Listen, I know you're pumped up. Me too.
Always had a soft spot for the WWE.
Really? The Fed? You like the Fed? As the dopes would call it. Yes. we're joking, but oh boy, you have no idea what's coming. Oh boy, that might be the end of the Super J cast, to be quite honest with you. I can just see the people just being like, what the fuck? But
there's enough dollar signs on the check. We'll make the Super J cast whatever you want it to be.
Yep, we've said it 1,000 times, haven't we? We are. It was. No, no doubt. So
my pants are down. I'm bent over. I'm spreading my cheeks apart. And I get straight in there. Name your price.
Yep. Get in there, Phil Brooks. Pepsi Phil. All right. Speaking of Pepsi Phil, I don't know how we segue from that to anything else, but where would you like to take us today? It's not like there's a ton. I know there were a couple Corkin shows that were there. Road 2.
Okay.
What's that?
There were?
I mean, weren't there?
I'll take your word for it.
All right. Yeah, they were there. Where would you like to take us first? Maybe
questions.
All right.
Let's do some questions first.
Right. Warm us up.
When did we last do a show?
Oh, God. 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Nothing happened last week. Some good Patreon episodes. I did a few more episodes of subscriber selectors. 4 episodes of that now. They're great. So get on the $10 tier. You can join in the fun. You can join me on the show talking about your favorite wrestling match. It's good. It's good stuff.
I like it.
Right. What am I talking about? Troy says, of the current roster, who would be your top 3 wrestlers to join in The Bachelor Japan?
Oh, is there a Bachelor Japan? I didn't know there was one. Every time I hear The Bachelor, I think of the Always Sunny episode where Frank is the Golden Bachelor.
Shota Umino.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to go with the young kids, right? I mean, that's a show where it's like, you know, it is about the body and the looks and everything else, right? You don't want fucking, you know, a divorced Hiroki Goto showing up. You know what I mean?
Chase Owens.
Do you think Chase Owens? Yeah?
Yeah, on the horse, full cowboy gimmick.
Wow. Well, you know, in the States, they have a a show very similar to that, but I believe it's like a Cowboys Looking for Love or some shit like that.
Okay, right, now we're talking.
Yeah, we can spin off. We can use Chase for the spinoff as well. How about this one?
Jado.
Oh boy, no. How about Tai Chi?
Yeah.
He's a little older, mind you, but I think he's got that swag.
I don't know what The Bachelor is, so I'm just kind of picking names at random here. No.
If you don't know what it is, give me what you think it is.
I think it is a game show where three sexy young men have to compete in a series of trials to see who can get a date with a nice lady.
Okay. Incorrect. So they have both The Bachelor, Joel, and they have The Bachelorette, both different shows, mind you, but the premise is the same. Single bachelor looking for love, and there's like 30 women that compete for his love, and he goes out on dates.
Oh, like a kind of Royal Rumble scenario.
Like a Royal Rumble, exactly what it is.
Are they coming out at 2-minute intervals?
I mean, the guy's coming in probably 2-minute intervals, but yeah.
Hey
now. Yes, so that is basically the premise of it. You flip it, there's The Bachelorette where it's one woman and like 30 guys. But trust me, I always wonder who the fuck watches these things. Like, I'm just like, I'm mesmerized by the fact that people. Like they keep churning out these shows like it's, you know, like it's the most popular things in the world, and I guess they are because they keep churning them out. When I went to Australia, that was the first time I saw this show. What was it called? First Dates or something like that? And it was the most awkward fucking shit. It was basically First Dates. They were blind dates, I want to say, maybe. It was just so incredibly. Like awkward. I just hated watching it. And of course the girls were just like watching it and making fun of it and all that shit. And I was just like, oh God. And then do you have a Love Island one, don't you, in England?
Yes. Again, I know the name, but I don't know what it is. I think it's a bunch of eligible singletons on an island fitted with explosive collars, and they have to kill each other within 72 hours. Until there's only one remaining, something like that.
Lord of the Flies, very much like. The island is correct, but again, it's like seven guys and seven girls and all.
Are there
this.
Any dinosaurs on the island?
That would be even better. Not that I'm aware of, except maybe like a 40-year-old guy
active
shows
volcanoes?
up. Any type of natural disasters? Snakes, Joe. I believe there are snakes. Fun fact about that Love Island, I think it was the first season or maybe it was the second one. I worked with a dude. I didn't work with him, but like, in a past life, I was in training and development. And so I would have like a new crop of people being hired, and I would have them for like 4 weeks. And then, you know, they would go and do their thing. And one of the dudes was like the fucking, the hook in the show. Like he was, so something happened. I'm fucking trying to remember what it was, but I think he was on the show and he got voted off because he was such a threat because he was a hot guy. And then they brought him back like toward the end. And it was like, oh, this big fucking reveal, the hot guy's back. He was in my fucking training. I just remember the dude. So what happened was he was there for like a week. And then he's like, I got to go. I have this TV thing. Like he couldn't be specific. And I was like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. But it's not my decision, you know. You got to talk to HR and all that shit. Like, not my fucking decision. I welcome you back, but you know, not from my call. And he went away to do that nonsense show. I forget the guy's name, but if you look it up, you know, it's probably season one or two. Not that anybody would look it up, but like I knew that dude, the fucking, the big reveal guy. There you go. Nobody gives a fuck about that story.
No, that's another bad anecdote from Damon. Next question then. This is from Lady, I think it's from Lady Guy Fieri, because when I'm on podcasting with you, I can't see people's Discord usernames. It just says L dot 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 because it's streamer mode is enabled. So I've no idea who sent this question. Let's see if you
Larry David.
No, you won't let me see their name. I don't know who you are. I think it's Lady Guy Fieri. Profile. No, I can't see their name.
God damn it.
This is diabolical. I'm going to ask the question anyway. All right. So Joel, please have Damon explain to you the cultural significance of a portion of WrestleMania being sponsored by MD 2020.
How? Are you familiar with MD 2020?
No.
Okay. So back in the day, Joel, and I'm sure you had, it's an alcoholic beverage, right? But it was cheap and it would get you fucked up. It was kind of like it was in like a bottle that would be like Rumplemints, but it probably, I just remember being, I'm going to say kind of grapeish. I could be thinking of something else, but yeah, that's when you were like in high school and you know, weren't of legal age. You got Mad Dog 2020 MD. And it was just fucking brutal. Because it was kind of tasty. Like, it wasn't terrible alcohol taste. It wasn't like you were, like, sneaking drinks from your mom's fucking apple rum or whatever the fuck. Yeah, but that was the shit back in the day. So, that didn't really happen. It wasn't really sponsored, was it?
I watched the entirety of WrestleMania and enjoyed every single match on both nights. I thought it was an outstanding show.
Did you order anything to eat? Did you get anything to eat while you were watching?
I did, yeah. That famous delivery platform with excellent service, I've forgotten the name of. It's either DoorDash or Uber Eats or Grubhub. It's one of those ones. Great, great service. Yum.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum. Wrestling and food. Excellent.
Yeah, fantastic. we're getting our chops in. So if it was, that is crazy because, it, like I said, it was cheap. And again, it was kind of like your first, like when you're out with the boys and you're trying to get the girls. You would do your damnedest to get the Mad Dog 2020. Absolutely. All right, cool. Good callback spot there. That's excellent.
And then Will says, Joel, please explain to Damon how funny it is to hear him describe a 23-year-old British guy as barely old enough to drink. Of course, the age of being able to legally buy alcohol in the UK is 18. So the age of Callum Newman, who, how old is he? Was he 30, 40?
Yeah.
Probably been drinking a very long time. So
probably right. That's true. Yeah, you got the 18. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, like if you're there with your parent, like if you're 16, you can still get a drink, right?
Yeah. So if I think you have to be accompanied by an adult and eating a meal.
Okay.
And then it can be like a glass of
wine
or cider or something.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I mean, get all fucked up with your parents over dinner, Sunday roast, getting all fucking lit up. Yeah,
So I found it now. 16 or 17-year-olds may consume beer, wine, or cider accompanied by an adult, and it's purchased with a meal. Interestingly, there aren't any laws about drinking alcohol when you're at home.
I'm sure you could do it. I can't say sure, because if your kid gets fucking all hammered and, you know, decides to take the lawnmower and destroy the neighbor's yard, that might be a problem.
So in the UK, it is legal for children aged, I'm going to say blank here, and you have to fill in what age you think it is.
Okay.
So in the UK, it is legal for children aged or older to drink alcohol at home or on other private premises.
I'll say 16 as well. Really?
Lower.
I'm right, just by your giggle. 12?
Lower.
No. Really? Like 10? Really?
Lower.
Shut up. 3?
No, too low. 5.
Oh, wow.
What, children aged 5 or older can drink alcohol at home or on private premises. While legal, this is not recommended. The
UK Medical Officer's
advice that an alcohol-free childhood is probably best, with a preference for no alcohol before age 15.
Are you kidding? Yeah, 5 years old? Come on.
It's illegal to give alcohol to children under 5. But Esther, I could give her a glass of whiskey on the rocks, and that would be
You're doing shots? Legal. You're doing beer bongs. just funneling it down. She's doing keg stands in the kitchen. That's 5 years old. How? I mean, look, we have states that have some pretty fucked up laws. You know, I'm looking at you, Alabama and Mississippi, and all, you know, where it's illegal to engage. If I'm not mistaken, it's Alabama. It could be, but it's one of those. It's illegal to engage in anal sex. It's illegal. It's on the books. Now, the likelihood of you getting arrested for that is probably slim and none. But
no, I think I want a task force set up to go around to people's houses and inspect. Yes.
Ma'am, hi, I'm with the anal squad. Oh, jeez, it wasn't me. Can I look at your ass, please? they get a little. What are they called? I'm ruining a protractor to fucking see the diameter. like the thumb is like the litmus test.
You're gonna have to accompany us to the station now.
You have the right to remain silent. Everything. I mean, you know, laws are weird. Laws are weird. 5 years old. Wow, that's crazy. Oh my God, heroin's probably what, 10, I guess. We're good. Well, kid, let's go shoot up. I think our legal, I think it's 18. I want to say 16 that you can have a drink with your parents, but honestly, I think it's 18 across the board. You cannot have you cannot be served an alcoholic beverage. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably true because, like, so if you like. Like if somebody who was kind of on the, like you thought were younger, you're going to get carded. But if you're like the old trick, it would be you get somebody who's older to get like around, right? Well, they got to check the ID of every person that's getting one. So maybe not. I mean, I think it's 18. Maybe it's 18 in your house, but it's 21. You can't go anywhere. And what I like that you guys do is the drinking outside thing. The drinking outside thing is fantastic. Like taking a beer outside the pub, standing on, right there. That's fantastic. I love that. It's tremendous. We don't have that. We can't do that. You can't take an alcoholic beverage outside of a place that's serving you alcohol. Now, there's exceptions to that rule where it's like, it's a beach bar or it's like a fucking whatever. But technically, you can't leave the premises with that said open container. That's how weird we are. Like we have all these, like a gun, fucking no problem. But like a beer is like, oh. But I will say this. Would you agree with this statement? Alcohol probably is the leading cause. And again, I'm not citing any sources or data, but whatever, of the majority of people's terrible decisions. Right? It's alcohol. You're like, Like 9 times out of 10, if there's no alcohol involved, you're probably not going to make that shitty decision. But the alcohol just triples the odds of a bad decision being made. Right or wrong?
You've just reminded me of what I did to help relax after the City Arsenal game.
What was that?
Because I was all stressed out and upset and worried and nervous. So I calmed myself down by watching Uncut Gems. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's like one of the most stressful films imaginable.
What is? No, I don't know what that is. Give me the Uncut Gem.
So it's an Adam Sandler film where he's essentially a gambling addict, and the whole film is just like 2 hours of just pure stress and mayhem and anxiety, where he's just making bad decision after bad decision. You're like, no, don't do that. What are you doing? And yeah, that made me feel better. So
I was about to say, that's terrible. they couldn't do well at all for your mental state. Just the worst.
Oh, yeah, it took goodness. My mind off things and made me think it could always be worse.
Well, it can, but no, we're trying not to get there. All right. Yep. All right. There you go. Take us away.
Let's talk about the Death Vegas Invitational. Oh. One match I want to talk about.
Okay.
A match that was on YouTube for free. It was the world's best technical wrestler versus the first class third rate handpicked by Hikaru Sato. With Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Fuminori Abe.
That's right.
16 minutes, 48 seconds via Zack Driver. We talked about Fuminori Abe before. I'm looking at this match thinking, I'm looking at him wrestling Zack Sabre Jr. and then being all buddy-buddy after the match. Zack giving him the pat on the back and saying, hey, good job. I'm impressed.
Let's see what you got, kid. You might look good in orange and black. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I remember seeing him actually in Philadelphia when WrestleMania was in town in Philadelphia. Now, shockingly enough, at that point, I did not get any Uber Eats or DoorDash or anything like that, so I couldn't really fully enjoy my WrestleMania experience. But now I know we will be able to do that one day. But yeah, he was
match made in heaven, Damon.
Oh, I mean, come on! What? It's like cookies and milk. I do remember him being on. If I want to say the Joey Janela show, he was. You know, I liked him there. I liked him in Big Japan when I saw him when I went over there. So
he's the kind of wrestler that we don't really have in the New Japan Junior Division.
Yeah, like a tough guy bulldozer kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I think to me, when whispers got out about that, him being on New Japan's radar, that was I told you, I was like, I'm probably more excited. That's probably one of the more exciting signings, and I'm probably more excited about that particular signing than just about anything in the past 2 or 3 years.
Did you see any of the United Empire guys appearing in All Elite Wrestling? We had Henare, Callum Newman, Francesco Acura. Seems to do very well.
Yeah.
I've heard by all accounts it was an enjoyable experience for them all.
Yeah. And I mean, it was in Canada, so that's why Henare was there. He wasn't going to step foot in the United States. It was in Vancouver, I think it was. It was a nice little angle. I like how they did the little the little warrior stance, and when everybody got out of the car and everybody lined up and picked a partner. Like I said, I think it was kind of, you were kind of clued in with Will, taking Callum aside and saying, hey, I got the fucking business I got to attend to at work or whatever he said, however he said it. And then they walk off and discuss in business. So, yeah, I kind of like the way that was tied in. Again, it's going to happen, so why not make it good?
I'm totally happy with these kind of appearances when the guys are locked down to 3-year deals. If we don't have the 3-year deals, then I'm like, what are we doing? We're basically like facilitating the soft jumps ourselves. But
yeah.
I've got no problem with it because, once the 3-year deals are in place, the guys are exactly, we know what we can do with them. There's enough time to tell some stories and build them up and then use them to put over people on the way out. So I think it's quite cool, actually.
Yeah. I, like I said, if it's well done and just like the scenario that you outlined, I don't think anybody really has a big problem with it at all. Nor should we. Either way, they're going to chase the money. And we've always said, go get the money. Like, nobody's doubting that. It's more of the company that you kind of like, come on, guys, fucking do something here.
But I do think of what I hear wrestlers and like what Hiromu said after making his AEW appearance, that these people are kind of blown away by the gratitude shown from Tony Khan, just like going up and saying, thank you very much for wrestling for my company in this match. You were really good. I enjoyed it. I appreciate that. Which seems to be a concept entirely alien to New Japan wrestlers.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a cultural thing, but possibly something that New Japan, or Bushiroad to be specific, Bushiroad management could learn from Tony Khan.
Yeah, look, by all accounts, again, I've never met him, so, but by all accounts, like, he seems like a very nice guy. He seems like a guy who, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's not a dick. I mean, that said, he can write checks to make the thing that I like the most in pro wrestling go away, which is always I'm on fucking edge. But
you think he's listening? Because I got a message for you, Tony, if you are listening.
Yeah.
You're a nice man. Have a word with your Fulham squad. Tell them to roll over when they come visiting Arsenal.
Yeah.
Help us rack up that goal difference. 10-0. Thank you very much. And I'll put you over strong on the show. I'll facilitate the job. I'll be in the wrestler's DMs. I'll sort you out, mate.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be in our good graces. I'm sure you give a shit either way. But yeah. But he's
gonna have a word with Case Lowe. I'll get Case Lowe to message.
Case has an in. Case has an in, apparently. But everything, again, every indicator that I've seen, and anybody who's ever had any dealings with him, you know, found him to be a good guy. And I've said it before, at the heart of it all, he's a pro wrestling fan. Like, I can't tell you that I wouldn't do everything that he's done if I had that much money. Like, he's living every fucking pro wrestling fan's wet dream. And to have the resources available to him to be able to kind of have his own fucking wrestling promotion that's not just, you know, at fucking VFW halls and high school gyms. Like, he has a legitimate, like money-making product that he has. Now, again, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you're 50-50 on it, whether you're the biggest fan in the world, like, he in a world where you thought that would never really happen, it's happened. And, again, he's a guy that was at the ECW arena shows that I was at, and he was at – you know, he was at Long Beach when New Japan was in town, sitting in the fucking crowd. You know, you got to tip your cap to a guy like that. Like, he's a wrestling fan. He loves his Mid-South. And you can see where he pulls shit from, you know, previous generations territorial wrestling. Like that's, to me, that's fucking cool. I love it. Like, I love the little inside wink, wink, nudge, nudge things. He's not.
I will say.
Good.
Whilst his product is good and he's a nice man,
you're right,
watching an AEW show doesn't go quite as well with a delicious DoorDash food delivery
right
than the WWE product does.
Right. There is something about the WWE product that just makes highly processed food go down even easier. You know what I mean? Like, it really does, just like, oh, now that hit the spot, right? Just hits all the dopamine and all the everything. And when, especially, Joel, when you don't have to leave, you don't have to put on pants, and you just sit on your fucking couch, they come, they ring that doorbell, and all the wave of excitement just comes over your body. Open that door, and there it is, fresh and hot. I mean, we're getting pretty good. But does that mean to take us long? But yes, Tony Khan has, look, I think Tony Khan has done a lot of good for pro wrestling. He's done a lot of shit that like, we're going to call him out on, that we know to be facts. And we did, and we have, and we will continue. But again, I have no problem praising shit that's good. None whatsoever. And I think it's a good, healthy thing to have competition. Again, does it hit all the time? No. But, you know, I think it's, I mean, here's the thing. It's good for the, I'll you know, let me put a little fucking asterisk here. I think it's good for the U.S. Western-based pro wrestling market. It's probably not good for, like, independent promotions or Japanese promotions or Mexican promotions or shit like that, where it's like you're trying to fucking establish yourself and you're getting your fucking stars cherry-picked. That's not great. But again, these are things that we've talked about at length previously.
Gay Kid got injured, no longer able to wrestle Yota Tsuji.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rumors circulating that David Finlay was the person that New Japan wanted, but turns out to be Andrade.
And they build it as they've never wrestled before. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the thing where the global title was only going to be defended outside Japan?
Do you mean to tell me that the mission statement for a newly created New Japan Pro Wrestling title has not been adhered to strictly?
That's a good point. There is a history of that. I am telling you that is the case. And I'm not going to lie. I was like a little bit like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I went to a show in Trenton, New Jersey, and the correct me if I'm wrong wasn't, and again, it wasn't anything official, but like in that presser, you know, it was being pretty clear that he was defending the title outside of Japan and the world title would be defended inside. So I don't know why they have dropped that instantly, but here we are. Here we are.
I can understand why they wouldn't go straight back to, or why David Finlay might not want to immediately go straight back to working for New Japan.
Right. Yeah. He needs time away. Like I think everybody who, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess. He just walked out the fucking door. So let's try and make do without him a little bit. Did you see the angle where, the only thing I saw was them breaking, David Finlay breaking a fucking set, and then Gabe Kidd pretending to urinate on a couch. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
It was.
I was watching WrestleMania and WWE at the time.
Right. The wholesome entertainment.
I'm not into all that blood and gut stuff. It's tawdry.
Right.
I like good old fashioned family friendly sports entertainment. Thank you very much.
You like moments.
The kids. Yeah. Moments. I'm a moments guy. I like the way the wrestlers walk to the ring. They walk
and you like to sing along, don't you? You like to sing along. Yeah.
Love a little sing song.
Do you sing along after you've...
I like the colors as well. Very bright colors.
Oh, sure. After you get your delivery from whatever delivery service, WWE... DoorDash. Yeah. Is it DoorDash? When you get your DoorDash, is that when you sing along? You got like a pizza in your mouth or some wings? Can you put something in your mouth and sing along to any WWE? Can you do any WWE?
I think actually the WWE sing-along themes are specially designed to be able to be sung with fast food in your mouth. Yeah,
I agree. It's tailor-made. Everybody's probably like, what in the fuck is going on? What? Oh, come on. We got to make ends meet somehow. So Gabe Kidd. I saw him pissing on a couch, but like, you know, his back's turned to the camera and he's got something in his hand and either he's got the healthiest bladder of any human being. And then like his fucking urethra is the size of my forearm because it was just, it wasn't even like a stream. It was like, just like gobs of water coming out. But it was silly. And it was like, all right, Jesus Christ, Gabe. I gotta be honest with you. I'm over Gabe Kidd, dude. I'm so over it. Like he's almost fucking cringeworthy. He really is.
Almost.
Yeah, good point. He's there. He's nestled firmly in Cringeville. It's just like, oh my God. It's just over the top is not even the word for it. Like it's just like, come on, what are we doing? Yeah, pissing on you because he's a mad lad. He's a hooligan. Okay. I did see that as well. But so I'll give a Tony a plus one and a minus one. How about that?
I've got some other stuff here, but I don't know if I can't be bothered to talk about them now. Shane Haste joining Noah.
Oh God! I mean,
good for him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a shame that New Japan just decided not to use him and Mikey anymore. But you know, money, cost saving. Gino Gambino, he's back for the Dontaku shows.
Nice.
That should be good.
Haven't heard that name in a fucking while. What has he been up to? I'm seriously, what the fuck? He's a nice guy. I remember talking to him briefly.
I made these notes that things happen. I'm like, oh, okay, that's New Japan relevant. I'm going to write it down in my notes. And now it comes to record it and talk about it. I've read it and I've got nothing to say about it. I've got no opinion on it. I'm like, why have I brought that up? It's not a conversation. That's just
it is. No, it is. I mean, did you like his work previous?
It's all right. Yeah.
Did you like the heel shtick, the bullet
club? Chunky. That's good.
Right.
But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, Doki doesn't wrestle on shows outside of Oregon Hall anymore. So, yeah.
Right. I wonder how much money he had to save up to buy his own plane ticket to get over there. I mean, you know, that's saying something. Hey, listen, he got a tracksuit out of it.
Right. There were two shows at Corcoran Hall. I watched them, Damon.
Yeah.
I wasn't exactly glued to the screen, but there was some interesting stuff. So here is my brief rundown of things that I found notable during the shows.
All right.
There is a young lion rivalry brewing between Taisei Nakahara and Masatori Yasuda, which is good. They don't like each other. They're growling and squaring up to each other. And I like that. It's good to get that stuff going nice and early.
Yep.
So I expect that to be a Wrestle Kingdom main event in about 5 years' time.
Okay. I'll break that down.
I like Yo and Taguchi as a tag team.
Really?
Not in New Japan. They should form a tag team and go and wrestle in DDT.
Agreed.
They can be team Stanky Poo and Bum. Poo and Bum.
Yeah. They can be the anal police, as we talked about
before. The anal police, yes. Yes. Yuya Uemura did some interesting things on these shows in the way that he finished his matches. So he defeated Taisei Nakahara with a wrist lock submission on the 19th. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, he defeated Tatsuya Matsumoto with a deadbolt. Not a deadbolt suplex, just the deadbolt, like double arm lock thing. So he didn't actually do the suplex. So, you know, when he's face-to-face with the guy and gets the double arm lock,
yep.
He just did that. He just wrenched Matsumoto's elbows and Matsumoto was like, give up.
Wow.
It was cool.
What a pussy.
Very good. I really like that. That he just, these were just like basic, you know, wrist lock and double arm lock and that was it. He cracked
cool.
it so hard, the Young Lions gave up.
Yeah.
That's good. They should do more stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that. One, it keeps people on their feet. On their toes. Two,
makes the Young Lions look like little bitches, which they should do.
They should, right. Absolutely. But yeah, I like one of the cooler things back in the day was All Japan like establishing something like a headlock. Like a fucking or like a chin lock as a potential submission because it happened like once or twice. And people get all fucking goofed over like a chin lock is great. I dig that. I actually do love that. I like the idea of I don't even need to bring out my finisher. I don't even need to bring up my, you know, Sunday afternoon finisher. I can bring out a fucking square one, day one wrestling maneuver to beat you. I like that. I do like
that. I want to see one of them win with a collar and elbow tie up.
Oh, that'd be so good. Be like, I give up. I'm done. I'm out. Tapping.
Yeah, I'll give up. You guys win.
Right. That'd be so great. You'd be like, oh, come on. That's so hard. I'm out of here. Oh, fucking A.
So that was good. You're showing a bit more of an edge. I like that. I don't know if this is a, you know, concerted effort to add some grit to the character somehow, but it was interesting. It was good and nice, and I liked it. There were these notes are rubbish. I've just written down
Come
the
on.
Stupidest things here. So after the match at Taichi's matches, he left the ring and he goes through the curtain.
Yeah.
But half through the curtain, and he turns back and is just like staring at the camera with half of his head through the curtain, just like kind of peeping coquettishly at the camera for a long time. It was like a good sort of 30 seconds of him just half standing half in the curtain and peering at the camera. And that was good as well. I like that. And I wrote that down as something that I wanted
This show was horrible. Yeah. That's the highlight. That's the note. The peeking between the shower curtain. He's like, oh, you caught me in the nude.
It's good. You should go. Everyone should go and watch that if you didn't watch these shows. One match I liked a lot was on the 19th. And it was the sixth match with Robbie X and Oscar against Kosei Fujita and Hartley Jackson.
Now explain, because there are tag team champions involved here. What gives with that?
I just thought it was a very fun mix-up, fun chemistry. No matter who was tagged in at that point, you got something a little bit different. So the bits where there was Robbie X and Fujita in the ring, they were doing their sort of high-flying, high-paced junior stuff. And then the bits where it was Oscar and Hartley Jackson in the ring, they were doing their big man, slappy-slap, bang, beefy beef boy, meaty match. When it was Robbie X and Hartley Jackson, it was like the little high-flying fella against the big chunky guy. And then when it was Kosei Fujita and Oscar in the ring, it was the big tall guy against the live athletic junior, future junior ace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed all those different combinations. Like whoever tagged in, you got something a bit different, something fresh and new with four guys who I think they've all got something to prove. And they all looked hungry and energetic and going out there to prove. Well, I saw something on Reddit a few years ago. It was a sandwich called the PBJ 2.0.
Okay.
And you know what? It will probably be quicker if I just send you a picture of this.
All right. I'll fire up my...
Is this going to fuck up the
recording? No, it's not. My phone is off, but I have WhatsApp on my MacBook.
All right. So I'm going to send you a picture of the PBJ 2.0, which there I think... would do a better job illustrating what I liked about this match than my description with words. Because like I said, I'm very tired and full of curry and a bit depressed. I'm not really doing these shows justice.
But look at you. You're a trooper. I love it. All right, I see here.
Go on. You describe what
all right. So there's two slices of bread. It's open-faced. On one piece of bread, we have the jam or jelly, if you prefer. It looks like a strawberry of some kind. Maybe a... some type of preserve. And then below that, is that honey? Am I looking at?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, so there's like three stripes. It looks like the fucking Mexican flag, I guess. But different colors, obviously. So jam top, honey on the second and the third. Is that like a fluff? Like a marshmallow fluff?
It's mayonnaise. No, it's not. It's marshmallow fluff. Yeah, you're right. It's marshmallow.
All right. So very sweet on the one side. The other side looks a little bit savory. We have some peanut butter, I guess, going left to right. And this one is organized up and down. Peanut butter, is that bacon?
I think it's crunchy peanut butter, Nutella, or some sort of chocolate spread, and then smooth peanut butter in vertical stripes.
Gotcha. I would have, maybe the bacon would have been better. Because you ever had...
Yeah, I could see that working.
Perfect. It really is. It really is fantastic. And even maybe a little bit of banana. Have you ever had the bacon banana peanut butter?
That's the Elvis sandwich, isn't it?
That is correct.
Now I want to go and watch that documentary, Sandwiches That You Will Like. That's my favorite PBS one. But I mean, the essence of this sandwich is that every time you bite it, you're getting a different combination of flavors. Now, they're all different kinds of sugary flavor, right? But is this making any sense why this sandwich explains why I liked this wrestling match?
Right. You're going to get a little bit of the sweetness from the fruit flavor and the peanut butter. And again, if we pretend it's bacon, you get the saltiness. The honey is going to be a less fruity, obviously, but sweet nonetheless. And the fluff is going to be sweet again, but again, different textures, different combinations there. Yes, I'm with you.
And the way they combine with the other, whatever the
I can't believe that you watched this match and the first thing that you thought of was this fucking picture. Like, wow.
Week, Damon. I was profoundly miserable while I was watching these wrestling shows. I was trying to watch. Again, get into the mindset here where after watching these, I was like, no, this has not worked. I need to go and watch Uncut Gems. So I was in a dark place. maybe I just needed to eat a sandwich at the time. Anyway, it was a good match. Oscar has grown a little beard and he looks nice with his little beard. So there's that. Go and watch that match, everyone. It was good. Yeah. Okay, I'll move on then because this is not going well at all.
It's gone
one
great.
Thing that they did on the show on the 20th that I really liked was obviously we've got this Shingo, Callum Newman, Don Taku main event coming up.
Yes.
Now to preview this match, instead of having them wrestle each other on a multi-man tag match, which I'm sure they will do at some point, but they had each guy wrestling their opponent's young lion or protege. So okay. We had Shingo wrestling Zane J.
Okay.
And then after that, we had Callum Newman wrestling Daiki Nagai.
Sounds very WWE to me. Miz, you know, Brittany O'Brien. God.
So what I like, when I watch WWE, Damon, one of their premium live events, I get on the phone and the good people over at DoorDash.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that again. Okay. But I just thought it was a very fun preview device of having these Don Taku main events taken on the opposing faction's young boy. And they won with each other's finishers. This was the thing. So Shingo defeated Zane J in 5 minutes with the Prince's Curse. And Callum Newman defeated Daiki Nagai in 5 minutes with the Made in Japan.
Wow.
And then they're kind of like glaring daggers at each other from ringside. But okay. It was really good. And I thought it was a good showing. I like seeing the guys like Zane J and Daiki Nagai given these spots. Because, you know, it's not like a main event. It's only a 5 minute match. But just seeing them getting to work in the ring in a singles match with top guys, I think is significant. And I'm not saying that's a guaranteed seal of approval that they're going to be main eventers in the future, but I think it means something. I like Zane J a lot. He looks like a young who does he look like? Freddie Blassie? I don't know who he looks like, but he's just got that sort of prototypical kind of 70s, 80s US wrestling star. Good looks.
Gino Hernandez body. Is who I thought. Yeah.
Gino. Okay. Yeah. That's it. I suppose he could pass for a young Freddie Blassie as well. But yeah, he's great shape, really good athlete. He's 28 years old. So he's 5 years older than Callum Newman, but I don't think that's...
he's probably in 40s.
Yeah. But he's got a good crowd connection already. There might be something there.
I think there definitely is. And again, I don't think they just pick names out of a hat for guys to, you know, become a faction's young lion. And I don't think they pick names out of a hat to put guys in that they don't trust in spots like you just described. Like there has
it could
to
have
be
been Matt Vandergriff, remember, with the strong survivor gimmick. Thank goodness it was Zane J.
You know? it is, we don't want to put too much stock into it, but there is I'm not saying they're trying to make them separate, but they are. And there's a reason why they're put in that position, because they've built up a certain amount of trust that the company has to be able to deliver in those spots. Again, we're not talking about Wrestle Kingdom main events, but important to the progression of, you know, main event storylines and even progression within, you know, of them within their affiliations. These are important things. Again, not maybe necessarily like that moment is like the most impactful thing, but it's those type of things that when they're stacked up together, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, the future looks bright, right?
Yeah. And again, it's difficult to appreciate that when you have a guy as young and talented as Callum Newman in the ring. But I think it's important not to just necessarily look at a wrestler's age, but it's miles on the clock, isn't it? And exposure and things like that. So it's not like Zane J has been, ground his body into dust working, you know, the US indie circuits or working for like a major promotion or anything like that. He's relatively fresh and new, and I think he ticks a lot of those boxes. And obviously there's a lot of unknowns. You know, we've looked at guys in the past where you think, wow, they are nailed on going to be future stars. You know, a guy like Carl Fredericks, and things just don't pan out for whatever reason. But I'm encouraged by the trajectory that Zane Jay's on so far. So that was good. And I've also enjoying Callum Newman's heel work a lot. Oh, yeah. He in at the start of one of these matches, he was sort of standing on the apron, looking at the crowd and pointing at the crowds. And he pointed at someone in the crowd, and then he made a wanking gesture to that person in the crowd, and then used his hands to mimic like jizz spraying out of his penis.
Sure, the shoot, right? Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
He did a big cum shot over the crowds.
Yeah, but it's very filling.
The camera quickly cut away from that one. As soon as he started doing that and doing the jizz bit, then the camera just cut to Dyke and the guy looking very serious.
They should have done the evil.
That was not lost in translation.
No, they should have done the evil camera shake. It'd be like,
I hope he does that in every match. That would be a great bit, wouldn't it?
Me too. That is a very Philadelphia thing.
Yeah,
the masturbation motion and the spraying of the semen, like you're thrusting it almost on them. Yes, familiar.
But he's having a great time with this heel character. And I know, like the uneducated opinion was, oh, it's his Timu Will Ospreay, but he is much more Jay White than Will Ospreay now. Mm. With the shit talking and the ease at which he has sort of seamlessly transitioned into this character who is just winding people up and just being obnoxious. It's very fun to watch. You can see it comes quite naturally to him, and it's not forced in a way that might come across like inauthentically with, dare I say, someone like a Gabe Kidd or maybe even a David Finlay at times. But Callum Newman just comes across as a real piece of shit. He's a twat. He's an absolute knobhead. And I like that. He was shit talking Daiki Nagai in Japanese as well. That was really good. And he let Daiki get in a little early flurry. So he built up all the heat, doing all this heel work and spraying his jizzing cock all over the crowd and making everyone upset. And then like for the first sort of minute or so, Daiki Nagai was just laying into him and the crowd were getting all excited. So again, it was just really well done. I suppose that he's got an understanding of his character and how to manipulate that and play that off of his opponent to, get the crowd dynamics where he wants them to be. This is not a zero-sum game. I think even though it was a five-minute, I wouldn't call it a squash match, but a comfortable win for Callum Newman, Daiki got something out of this at all. I just find it really exciting to see all these fresh matches and fresh rivalries cooking, because I'm bored of talking about all the same people wrestling each other a million times, but those are some rivalries and pairings that I picked up from these two shows that I enjoyed and found fresh and invigorating.
I know everyone is not everyone, I'm sure there are imbeciles who are as you say, try to give you the dollar store Will Ospreay with Callum. I'm blown away by where he is right now. And like, I'm just incredibly excited by him in a year. Like, just like the leaps that he's taken, to this day, April 23rd, imagine where he'll be in a year when we're sitting here talking about, we're probably still talking about him throwing jizz in the crowd. But you know what I mean? Like that excites me. And I think a lot of the excitement that I have for this product right now is the idea of we haven't even seen the full fucking bloom of a lot of these guys. And they're already, and you already see glimmers of very good to great. Just imagine these guys growing in another year. Like that's super exciting. That to me, the fact that were in that, like, people were always clamoring for, well, when are they going to make Stars? When are they going to, like, we're in the mix of that. Like, we're knee deep and we're waist deep in that. And that feels pretty good. That feels pretty good.
The main event on this show was the IWGP Tag Team Championship number one contender match, where Bishamon defeated the Holy Seaman Army. So Yoshihashi pinned Great Okan after 25 minutes, 16 seconds via Shoto. I don't know, man. This was okay, but Great Okan, he just looks
shit.
Totally checked out.
Yeah.
Absolute salaryman wrestler. And yeah. All these other wrestlers that I've described about how excited I am to watch them and how fresh and hungry and dynamic they look. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair, but he just looks dead behind the eyes.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. It feels like there's been so many opportunities and so many moments where you're like, okay, this has got to be it, that, you know, you become a little disheartened, rooting for the guy. And then again, yeah, maybe you are right. Maybe it's a thing where he's just like, what do you want me to do? I don't know what you want me to do. And I'm just going to fucking get in and get out and cash my check as quickly as possible and watch some fucking pornography or whatever the fuck he does. excuse me. I still think that there is something to him being, I wouldn't say one of the hottest guys in the company, because I think that's a stretch, but a guy who was bubbling and then instantly cooled off. Like, there's got to be something he did. Again, was it the Las Vegas trip? Was it him fucking, you know, again, I don't know how helping a young girl, not be fucking attacked by some, you know, lunatic, how that hurts your wrestling career. But again, wrestling is a weird fucking place. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's obviously done something to thumbs down, and he's not been able to find a way to work his way out of that fucking sack. Like, he is trapped in that fucking bag, as the great Verve would sing, Richard Ashcroft, trapped in a waiting to drown. That's exactly what it feels like with Oka.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what do you... Oh, one, how do you repackage that? So he has this gimmick that, again, it can be very cool, but it also can be like, oh, what the fuck's this? If you don't get the cultural references and all that. Okay. So how do you repackage that, Joel? Does he just go away and then he just becomes somebody else? Because he definitely needs a repackage, right?
I don't think he cares. I think maybe he looks like he's just satisfied with his place on the roster. Because you think with all the turbulence there's been in the company and this power vacuum and everyone leaving, it's lit a fire under everyone who I think is worth a damn. But he just looks completely unmoved by it all. And
because he's been fucked constantly, consistently. Like, every time there was a halfway big match for this guy, you know, he's looking at lights, or he's, you know, like, it's hard for fans to get behind him. And again, maybe he was punished. Maybe he was reprimanded.
No, he made it to the G1 knockout stages.
Okay, great.
2 years ago?
Wow.
And he beat Tetsuya Naito, didn't he? And he had a title match against Naito.
Right.
And I put it to you, since that point, he's done nothing.
Nothing.
He has made no effort whatsoever. He's not put in any performances where we have said, wow, this guy is really trying his best and is, you know, dynamic and invigorated and going out there determined to have great matches and make his opponents look good. And he has got to be in line for a push. He's not done any of that. So no. I'm blaming him. I think he just doesn't give a shit.
You might be right. But it might be just a guy who's just broken. He's just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of this fucking quandary that I'm in. And you know, maybe it's like, you know, one thing goes with the other. Like, the company, you know, he did something that the company didn't like, which made him fucking, you know, kind of not go half-hearted, but maybe half-hearted. And, oh, you're going half-hearted? Well, fuck you. You're supposed to be working harder. Okay, then it's just this perpetual cycle that just can't break. Once again, I say it a million times, but pro wrestling's fucking weird, dude. It could have been something like, oh, he put his socks down in the wrong place, and, you know, he's a locker room menace now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, who knows? But it doesn't feel like he has a place in this company. Like, it really doesn't.
I think it does. I think he seems to have accepted his role as sort of mid-card, quasi-comedic heel.
Okay, but you can those grow on trees. Those grow on trees, right?
He's a dojo guy. There's, you know, that's worth something, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it?
Well, New Japan seems to value that fairly highly, don't they?
I think they value it very highly if you're a guy who's going to be someone who makes the company money. Like, that's the bottom line. And Okan's not making them a fucking dime. You know? I mean, I hate to be brutally honest about it, but that's the brutal honesty of it. Like, Okan's not making that fucking company a dime. He's replaceable at this point, no doubt.
Well, he's a big company guy, isn't he? He was defending the honor of the Bushiroad card games when Yota Tsuji was being mean about them.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, again, there, at one point, Joel, he was, you know, he was pretty well heated up. That died. That died on the vine, man. I feel like he's gotten plenty of opportunity. Things haven't stuck. And it feels like the company's not behind him. If that's, again, him working and his kind of lack of, I hate to call it effort, but a lack of anything being excited over, is it the company looking at that, or is it the other way around, of him being like, well, why the fuck am I busting my ass for something that, you know, isn't worth it? So who knows? And here's the thing, too. I don't think he's a bad wrestler, Joel. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think anybody coming out of New Japan Pro Wrestling's dojo is a bad pro wrestler.
No. So you look at, you go back and watch his G1 match last year with Zack Sabre Jr. So he wrestled his socks off there, and it was excellent. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, he is capable of having good matches, probably because he's scared of Zack. Oh, yeah. And if he phones it in against someone like Zack, Zack's going to give him a bollocking for it. Right. So he can be a good wrestler when he wants to be. Remember that really fun match he had with John Moxley?
Yeah. Yeah.
He had good chemistry with an absolutely broken down Tetsuya Naito. Like, he can do it. He can't be bothered.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to be honest with you. If he can't be bothered, I can't be bothered.
Yeah. That's my point, Damon. Yeah. You've reached the same conclusion that I did about
right.
8 minutes ago.
Right. But here's the thing. We're doing a show. We gotta stretch out the content, Joel. There's only so many times we can do a fucking WWE joke. Yes.
There's someone at the door. Oh. Hello, is that DoorDash? Yeah. Oh, have you got my delicious foods?
Wow, interrupting our show. Terrible timing. Joel, are you on your app right now ordering DoorDash?
I'm just opening up Netflix to see what the World Wrestling Entertainment, what kind of entertainment they've got on offer for me.
Do they? A boatload.
My favorite's Cody.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes.
The American Nightmare. Cody.
What is he up to?
Yeah. Maybe there's an attitude era.
Adrenaline in my soul.
The Ritalin in your soul? Is that what you said? The Ritalin in my soul? Boy, you know, you can pop on.
Chicken wings in my hole. Tasty pizza. And something else.
Oh, come on, we can get it. We got it. Maybe there's a attitude era documentary. Like, we haven't seen one 1,000 times. Like, what else? Like, it's like pro wrestling started in the attitude era. All right. Yes. Great Okan. Excellent. Maybe he should get some wings as well.
We excited about Bishamon? So, okay. Yeah. Let's What have we got? What the show's coming up next? Let's have a look. So we have a show on the 24th. So this show on the 24th is Road to Wrestling Dontaku, Tech Sport Imabari.
Tomorrow.
Ehime. Tomorrow, yeah. This is the Yuya Uemura homecoming match.
Here we go.
Do we want to talk about Jake Lee in the clown mask? I don't want to talk about Jake Lee in the clown
mask. No, I don't give a fuck about the clown mask. I got to be honest with you.
No, don't care. I was thinking of there was the photo Fraser took, didn't he, of all the fans wearing their clown masks, and I was going to put like me and the boys tuning into the latest Arsenal game. That's good. Bring myself to it. So we've got a Yuya Uemura homecoming match with Yuya Uemura, Bolton Oleg, and Aaron Wolf against Yujiro Takahashi, Don Farley, and Ren Narita. Yeah, that's it. Just that noise. That's the preview. Okay.
Yeah. How, can I ask you a question? I mean, maybe Fale got a 2-for-1 on the airline deal, and that's why Gino's coming over. I know the answer, so I'm just going to button my lip, but I'll ask it anyway, and I'm not expecting an answer. Why are they doing this with Fale? Like, why is he still there?
Because they want to have Aaron Wolf throwing him around, and that will look good on, you know, the prime time.
Really,
like
throwing around an obese.
That's it.
Okay,
that's it.
All right.
I'm anything. Any more analysis is that is overthinking it. That's all it is. I promise you.
Okay. There's no other big man we can do that with. But
There was that big thing, wasn't? Didn't Aaron Wolf? He was in a big TV spot, wasn't he? What was it that he was?
Oh.
There was a 10 million yen challenge where there were a bunch of guys who trying to throw or pin Aaron Wolf. And it started off with just like guys off the street. And then there were some like legit athletes and wrestlers and sumo Rikishi.
I got to see that. Send that my way. I got to see that.
Yeah. I'll try and find it. But he looked great there.
All right. I love it when they have like, the regular salaryman off the street and they get stretched. I love that.
The next miserable salaryman video you watch on YouTube is going to be like, woke up at 5 a.m. had my basic, my miso soup breakfast on the underground, tuning to go to work after
soaking.
Finish work at 9 p.m., drinks with the boss, go home, got suplexed by Aaron Wolf on the way home.
On the way home is the funniest part. Just walking home, be like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's Aaron. Oh, God damn it. That's the funniest. All right. Yeah. Terrible.
Judo throws me into a fucking gutter. This sucks. Please donate money here to this link.
Right. Please hit like and subscribe. As I get
that would be a good gimmick for Aaron Wolf, just like battering salarymen, just hunting them down, just walking around the streets, just judo throwing salarymen indiscriminately.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah! Smash, just throw them into dumpsters.
That would be pretty great. Or even foreign tourists, that would be great. just have fucking toss them.
I've succumbed to something which is really bad, Damon, and that is going on the Twitter For You page where the algorithm is feeding me all sorts of bad stuff. And, I've started to get a steady stream of tweets from Japanese people who have opinions about foreign visitors to their country.
Yeah.
It's not good, Damon.
Not welcoming. Really bad. They're not welcoming messages.
No, they don't like it.
No. Oh. Well, listen, I'm going to say this. We fucked it up. Not us personally, mind you, but boorish, terrible behavior is not tolerated. And word spreads and word gets around and people kind of are like, wow, it's like The Simpsons, that episode where it's like, I won't do the episode, but you get my point. Word travels.
What have you seen the shark bite guy?
The shark bite guy.
Yeah, he's like an extremely muscular guy with like big square shoulders who goes into restaurants and orders massive amounts of food and does crazy dancing and wobbles his head around and then takes shouts, shark bite, and does a big bite of the food. No, you've not seen him?
No, but I hope he gets hit by a fucking car.
Okay, all right. And we'll save that segment for another week because I think New Japan should sign that guy. Yeah. So that's your preview for you, Emra, homecoming match. So look forward to that. We also have a show on the 25th. So this is this Saturday. Wrestling Red Zone in Hiroshima, Sun Plaza Hall. There's some matches happening here, Damon. Wrestlers are going to be facing off against each other in various combinations.
Oh.
Some of them 1-on-1, some of them 2-on-2, some 3-on-3, some 4-on-4.
Wow.
So that's going to be exciting. So we'll look forward to that show.
Red Zone. Do you want
more specifics than that? Yeah, okay. I'll tell you some of the combinations
of please.
Wrestlers. So we're going to have the IWGP Junior Tag Championship match.
Okay.
The 81th champions, Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori, in their second defense against the challengers, Kosei Fujita, Robbie Eagles.
Okay.
I'm sure the match will be very, very good. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of flipping.
Yep.
Taiji Ishimori is going to work really hard. Robbie X is going to have the crowd eaten out of the palm of his hands. Robbie Eagles is going to be making everyone look excellent. Kosei Fujita is going to be looking very sexy and smoldering and attractive.
Yeah.
Are we expecting new tag team champions?
Depends on you know me. Depends on what else is on the show. Is that the main event?
Semi-main event. The main event is the heavyweight tag team match. That's Knockout Brothers against Bishamon.
Okay. So let's just assume Knockout Brothers retain. I'll say yes. Why not? What the fuck? No, you know, it's only the second title. Well, who knows? I'll say 60-40 yes.
Tag title on Kosei Fujita before Best of the Super Juniors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to do that, do we?
Although that said, Doki was double champion for ages. So I don't think it matters at all.
I
like this Robbie X Taiji Ishimori team. I'd like them to continue being champions. Not that I dislike Fujita and Robbie, but hey, maybe Robbie might find himself with a new tag partner later on this year.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I think we came full circle on this show. All right. I like that. I like the idea of that. All right. So I'll say no title change at all. How about that? I don't think either. I think they both successfully defend. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Knockout Brothers having their sixth defense against Bishamon. I mean, absolutely like classic, insane New Japan booking to build up this incredible run with the Knockout Brothers where they're semi-main eventing all these huge shows for them to lose it on some random ass show in Hiroshima to Bishamon. Is that not exactly the kind of nonsensical shit that New Japan would do?
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. That's exactly what I'm afraid of. Yeah. Joel, there might be a title change right there. Because you're right. That is exactly the dumb shit they would do. And here's the thing. I don't hate the idea of Yoshihashi and Goto regaining the titles. But you're right. Like, I don't know. I feel like them losing should be to a team that's like, okay, I can't say I'm super excited with the idea of it. Now, again, I sat here and said how excited I am about the idea of, again, number one contenders, rinse and repeat, you go through the same teams, they're good teams, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That just seems a smidge flat now that we're here. So I'm hoping not, but no, you're right. That is something they would do.
Yeah, like I could see it being that thing where like Bishamon win the titles, but then Knockout Brothers win it back at Dominion or something.
Right.
Because I don't see who is, and it's not our problem, but who are going to be the next guys to win these titles off of Knockout Brothers?
Like, okay.
If I'm giving you the book,
right?
What do you do? What's the best way to
keep it.
Maximize capitalism. You just keep it.
Yeah, keep the titles on them until you find that team. Like, there's nothing wrong with them holding on to the titles and not having the it fucking, you know, just because it's the sixth defense, we got to get the fucking titles off of them. Like, hold on to them. Like, find the team that will be the team to beat them. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I wholeheartedly encourage it, because then you're just changing the title to change the title. And okay, I guess the live crowd gets a nice little pop, and you know, if you're watching at home, you're, you know, it's like, oh, okay, here you go. But it's not anything like that's going to move needles. Like, wait to move a needle or two. Like, get the team that is right. Don't just settle for a team that is good, dependable. Like, wait. You have a tag team that people are into. You have a tag team that has a bit of a buzz, and people are getting excited over, and already are excited over. There's no need to just change the title to change the title. Wait. Be patient. You're patient for fucking everything else. Be patient here.
Yeah. I think we get kind of stuck in this thing as wrestling fans where when there's a good hot title reign that we're enjoying, we start obsessing over
who takes it,
how it's going to end,
yeah,
and who should be the person to end it. And I understand that mentality, because you're looking for a way to sort of maximize the heat of that and the success of that run and transition it into another hopefully equally or maybe even more successful run. But I think I'm happy to just enjoy this Knockout Brothers title run as it goes and not worry about
who would
where it's going.
Right. Yeah.
Even though it is going to end on Saturday to Bishamon, and we're all going to get annoyed about it. So
again, I'm not going to be overly annoyed, but like, again, sometimes not doing something is the smartest move. So I kind of hope they do that. But I don't know. You do have me with an eye on that match specifically.
Do you think we will record before or after next Wednesday?
You know, I got to look at the Flyers' playoff schedule. I'm gonna say there's a very good chance. Like
of
a
what?
Tuesday, like a Tuesday,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Because I was wondering, do we preview wrestling Hizen no Kuni from the Saga Arena?
And that is when?
Next Wednesday.
Well, we can do it now, and I'll have a little bit more shelf life, that's for sure.
Yes.
Or we can wait until next week and do it then, when it's fresh.
The main event of that show is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, with Doki defending against Tiger Mask.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's our preview. Again, I think everyone's happy for him. You know, he's doing his little tour, getting that shit. I can't imagine the title being changed here, but yeah, I can't sit here and lie and tell you that I'm overly excited by the idea of that match. Although, you know, a grumpy, as we like to say, the grumpy tiger mask is a fun tiger mask. I don't want the guy to go 20 fucking minutes. Let's put it that way. But if it's worked well and it's grumpy tiger mask and all that, I don't know, maybe they can squeeze out a good 10, 12 minutes. They're not going to
fast forward to next week's episode. Doki defeats Tiger Mask in 43 minutes, right. 56 seconds via low blow.
Right. They went the time limit, and then the extra 5 minutes went. Yeah. Well, can't tell you. They can't go. I'm going to set the over under. Did they go over or under 12 minutes?
Oh, I think they're going over 20.
Wow. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Don't watch it then.
I won't.
Instead, you could tune in to a W. No, 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 no.
Look at you. Look at you. We will. I'll watch. But again, I'm hoping for under 20. That's for fucking sure.
Okay.
That's it? That's the show?
That's it.
All right.
That's the show. I was hoping to go out on a more amusing note.
Well, go ahead. Go out and go on whatever note you want.
I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything funny.
Nothing witty? Yeah, we've literally drained the pond of WWE DoorDash bits. But keep tuning in. There'll be plenty more. As long as the check's clear. All right. Why don't you wrap it up? I don't like wrapping things up.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.